No, we all know you as Van Fleet, man. Just go back to Van Fleet. Like, Jeff Van Gundy called him Van Fleet for six games.
I mean, it kind of sounds the same coming off the tongue. Van Fleet, Van Vleet. You know what I mean? Van Fleet, Van Vleet. You got to kind of slow it down to hear the difference.
Either way, he was going shot for shot with the entire Golden State Warriors team.
He was. I'll tell you who was not going shot for shot. That was Klay Thompson.
Man, that was tough because Game 6 Klay is a thing, right? Game 6 Klay is a thing. He has been clutch. Every time the Warriors have needed a big performance in Game 6, he's always there. He's always ready.
Mm-hmm.
Last night was no different as he came out and he was stroking. Hit four threes. Hit 10 of his 10 free throws. Was balling. And then he has a breakaway dunk. Danny Green. The only good thing Danny Green did all night was foul Klay Thompson on that breakaway. And it's sad to say because it ended up in a great player who we all kind of like. I think Klay Thompson is close to the top of approval rating when it comes to NBA players, especially on teams that are good. Usually we don't like guys that are good. But Klay Thompson gets a pass. Klay Thompson gets to be pretty likable because Klay Thompson just is who he is.
He's more likable than Steph Curry.
Oh, yeah, and Durant. And Draymond.
Even though Steph Curry's kind of the golden boy.
Steph Curry's the golden boy, but he's when you become the white meat baby face, you get pushed a little too far. Klay's got a little bit more edge of him.
Steph probably suffers a little bit from literally having a baby face, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like a toddler in the face. You know what I mean?
Like, you could picture Klay partying and drinking and smoking a little weed and just being a guy to hang out with.
Whoa. Got to smoke weed today to be cool?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying Klay just looks like he could kick it.
I'd say Klay's probably rolled a fatty or two.
Klay can kick it. I don't know if I'd like to hang out with Steph Curry. I know I'd like to hang out with Klay Thompson.
I bet Steph Curry gets down a little bit.
I have no interest in hanging out with him.
I don't either. Be best to just hang out with Draymond.
I don't know if I'd want to hang out with Draymond either. I feel like he'd just get you in trouble.
He gets mean.
Yeah, he gets you in trouble. Someone said that Draymond was the kid in class that cost you recess. Like, we all had that kid in our classroom who ends up costing your class recess for the day. That's Draymond Green.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to hang out with that guy. But Klay, I'll kick it with Klay. And he was kicking it on the court. I mean, he only played 32 minutes and was still the Warriors' highest scorer. He had a team best plus minus of plus five. When he was on the court, they were good. They could have came back and won that game. They were leading when he went out. Pretty cool moment from him, too. Like, to go down and you have the Twitter experts all say ACL, ACL, and then he's getting carried off the court and you're hearing Jeff Van Gundy say, if Klay Thompson goes out, he can't come back in if he can't shoot these free throws. So then you hear the crowd erupt as he's running out. As they come back from commercial break, he runs back on the court to shoot his free throws.
It was just yesterday, we talked about the Kobe Achilles game, right?
And then Klay Thompson had a similar moment. Now, ACL tear is not the same as an Achilles, and you can run all day in a straight line if you have a torn ACL. You just can't cut. Like, you saw Klay Thompson out there still jogging and still jumping up and down. You can't go side to side, which you need to do in basketball.
Absolutely.
So he came back, he hit his two free throws, and everyone's like, wait, did we overreact to the injury? Is he actually not hurt? And then you're like, oh, wait, no, he is. He goes back to the locker room, and you have Doris Burke back there, and she's doing her best to be a good sideline reporter, and she doesn't really have any information. They send it back to the game, and they're like, wait, let's go back to Doris Burke. And she's like, yeah, Klay Thompson's done for the day.
I can forgive the people that immediately judged the injury, the experts, on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the knee buckle.
Yeah, you saw that, and you saw him carry him, and that's the last thing you saw before the commercial. So I kind of get the overreactions, even though he did come back and shoot the free throws.
Oh, yeah, no, they ended up being right. I mean, it was reported today, Cody, that he has a torn ACL. The ACL is torn.
Yeah.
Which is
Came
going
from
to.
Woj late night, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and that's going to put the Golden State Warriors in a really precarious situation moving forward. Has, two of their four building blocks, whatever you want to call it, Draymond. I like Draymond. I like his game more than most people, even though last night you saw the really great of Draymond, him having 9 rebounds and 8 assists in the first half, and you saw the bat of Draymond, him throwing the ball all over the place in that fourth quarter. I don't know how much I blame him, because a couple of those turnovers was when he was trying to pass it to, like, Kevon Looney, who had one breast. Like, the other side of his chest was completely, like, caved in. His ribs were broken, and he couldn't really catch the ball. And the other was, like, Quinn Cook, who doesn't really know where to go when Draymond gets double-teamed. You saw a couple bad turnovers. So you saw the great of Draymond, which was...
triple-double.
Triple-double, 19 rebounds. I mean, you go out and get 19 rebounds when your team has no size. Like, Draymond went out and got 19 rebounds. 19 rebounds. The whole team itself, Cody, had 42.
Yeah, nobody else got more than five. DeMarcus Cousins had five.
Like, you take away Draymond's 19 rebounds, and the rest of the team got, what, 23? So you saw Draymond do that, and you saw him go out and get almost half of the team assist, 13 of their 28, but then you saw him have half their turnovers. So you saw the great of Draymond, then you saw the stuff that really, you know, frustrates you, and it kind of cost them the game last night. And him getting, he stumbled a little bit as he chased out Pascal Siakam when Siakam hit the little floater to put them up three. I mean, we said the key in this series, or at least I did. You know, even going back to the Warriors series, you looked around and said, man, they don't have a lot of guys, the Raptors series, you said, they don't have a lot of guys who you trust on the court right now. They don't have a lot of guys who can give you points. Against Portland, it didn't matter. But then when we got here looking at Toronto, remember, we were just like, hey, man, it seems like Toronto has seven guys and the Warriors have three.
Yeah, and Steph Curry, I mean, 6 of 17 in a home elimination game.
It was bad. Now, granted, when Klay went out, they went to that box and won. And for the people who scoff at the box and won, man, it worked on Curry. Like,
yes, it did.
Knowing that he can't run around screens because you're easily just going to switch out and no one else can get a bucket. It, you know, completely shut the Warriors down. But it wasn't like Steph was balling before they went to the box and won.
It's good coaching by Nick Nurse.
I mean, it was just simple coaching. Like, hey, we got one guy who can score.
It's fundamental.
Let's just make sure the entire team guards him.
Yeah.
If he comes your way, switch onto him.
Make sure you get him. Yeah. don't let him drive on you, you know?
It was a beautiful defense. And, yeah, Steph Curry, I mean, like I said, man, 0 for 9 when he has a chance to give his team the lead in the playoffs. 0 for 9. That's not good. I mean, the last play was almost a disaster. And, you know, if you watch the game, the Raptors were trying to gag another 6-point lead. They tried to gag up that 6-point lead with 2 minutes left. They tried to ruin it. Draymond hit a clutch three. DeMarcus Cousins with the big play getting to the bucket. And, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, for as limited as he was, man, you find yourself just kind of appreciating how much of a bulldog he is and just how wide and strong he is. I don't know if you saw those offensive rebounds he was getting late in that game, but...
Kawhi?
No, DeMarcus Cousins.
Oh, yeah. He's very wide.
We're like, Ibaka just had no answer for him on the glass. Like, you just have to try to hold him and hope they don't call the foul. Like,
he is thick.
DeMarcus Cousins couldn't really move, but still found a way to get some rebounds, draw some fouls, and then drive to the bucket to make it a 1-point game. And then, like, Danny Green, man, he almost threw that game away.
Oh, man.
That turnover. That
threw the ball too high, out of bounds.
Yeah, like, and either way, like, you don't. Here's the thing. Is like,
just hold on.
Yeah, you don't want to give the ball to Pascal Siakam. He's a 75% free throw shooter. He just missed one free throw. At the end of the Milwaukee triple overtime game, he missed two free throws with the game on the line. Like, I don't want him shooting the free throws.
He got rattled by that pressure.
Yeah, just hold the ball, Danny Green. Yeah. Like, you're out there to be a veteran. You're out there to be a Spur. Like, don't do Raptors things. Do Spurs things.
Yeah, he threw it up there, and Siakam had to reach for it and just went out of bounds.
And like I said, even if Siakam would have got it, he probably would have fallen out of bounds, or he would have missed the free throws.
And Danny Green would be hated today.
And then Steph Curry, like, they call timeout. They get a good play. It's kind of a Brad Stevens play. You'll see him do it with the Celtics a lot. He made it popular where he takes Al Horford, puts him on the opposite block. They're obviously trying to keep him away from the basket because you don't want to give up a layup, so that you lob it over the top, and then you run your shooter the opposite way around a screen. As the defense is loaded on one side, you try to hit him with a little counter action. And it was almost a bad pass. It almost went out of bounds. Draymond saved it, and you saw the action. It gave Steph Curry a wide, and I mean W-I-D-E, wide. Let me throw in a couple extra I's. W-I-I-I-I-I-D-E, wide open look to win the game and force game seven. And Steph Curry, he really wasn't even close. Like, he clanked it off side of the rim. It wasn't a good shot. And then you get a little bit of a scramble. Kawhi comes out with the ball. I thought DeMarcus Cousins was going to come up with it just the way he had been rebounding. Kawhi gets it out. There's a little scramble. And fittingly, the Golden State Warriors dynasty ends with the Draymond Green technical as he tried to call a timeout when they didn't have any. So fittingly, Draymond got that technical, and that's the way the Warriors, at least as we know them, will end. Now, there are a couple options for them. Man, last night was fun. Some just real legacy stuff from Kawhi. He's in elite company now. One of 12 players ever to have multiple finals MVPs.
I mean, all I got to know is he took down LeBron and he took down the Warriors.
He ended the Heat dynasty and he ended the Warriors dynasty.
Yeah.
One of 12 players with multiple finals MVPs. One of three guys to do it with two different teams. He joins Kareem and LeBron.
Yeah.
I believe he's one of three to have multiple finals MVPs by the age of 27, joining Magic and Duncan. You know, that's elite company. And he is one of one to win finals MVP in both conferences, which kind of surprised me because maybe they just didn't have conferences back there, but I would have thought Kareem with the Bucks and then with the Lakers, that would have been two conferences, but whatever. I don't know. That was just another accolade I saw them throw on the at the feet of Kawhi Leonard, king of the North.
Yeah, maybe the king of the North.
Maybe the king of the whole seven realms. Or the seven kingdoms, I guess I should say. The king of the seven kingdoms.
Six kingdoms.
Six kingdoms now. Yeah.
The North is independent.
Sure. But if,
which kind of fits with the narrative here.
Or if it was in the show, though, like they would have let just him rule everything and the North wouldn't have had to be independent.
Yeah.
They just would have technically called everything the North, probably.
Yeah, he would have been just Jon Snow. Would have been good. Probably a better ending.
Hell of a game last night. Hell of a final series. I'm curious to see what the TV ratings say to see if other people got pulled into it.
Yeah.
But that was fun.
He can finally go back home to his family at night. And they won't wonder why he's been spending so much time down at the plant.
He'll just be like, I had a project run a little late.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got caught up at work.
Be home in time for dinner now.
I had to work a little overtime tonight. Sorry. Me and the boys went out for a couple drinks after work. Honey, why do you smell like champagne? Why does it smell like somebody's been soaking you with champagne? Me and the boys, we wanted to have a little nightcap after all this work we've been having to put in.
Yeah. Hey, Kawhi was asked after the game how much this championship meant to him. He said, a lot.
Sad news, honey, is they're laying me off at the plant for a couple months, but yeah. We'll fire back up in, like, September, so
yeah.
I'll be around the house a little bit more these couple days. We're doing a little temp work, getting laid off a little bit. What a series.
Yeah.
What a game. That was fun. We'll continue to talk about the ramifications of it next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
240.
She likes El Sweet, I like my sweet tea. And she likes my boots with these blue jeans. And she likes popping buttons on my pearl snap. And she likes
King of the North and King Mason Ramsey kicking us off on this Friday. I mean, I'm not saying it's Old Town Road, but I'm just saying if you take, you know, the body of work and then add this one on top of it, like, feels like, you know.
Yeah, for the first time, I think, ever, I'm going to have to retroactively go back to the this or that verdict.
Whoa.
And award the point and the game to John.
Wow! Okay!
That
I'll take it!
The evidence is out there now.
That doesn't happen.
After having time to sleep on it, Ben Lee has changed his mind, okay?
I don't give a damn what he says.
I woke up this morning, I listened to Twang, basically first thing I got here in the station, Julia... intern Julia tweeted it out. Like,
she's not an intern anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, no, she's not. She is a show host now.
Overtime host Julia.
No. Please put some respect on her name.
Tweeted out that Twang was a banger, and so I was like, oh, it's time. It's out there. I got to go listen. And I was immediately taken back by it, and I was like, you know what? I was wrong. Mason is the king right now.
That's fine. I don't really care. Because
I'll take the win. Thank you, Ben.
You can't retroactively change the result of a game.
I'm glad that you had time to sleep on it and had more evidence presented to it. Like, I don't know if I'll count it as a win in my record book, but I'm definitely vacating the loss.
It's not. It's an L.
I'm just letting you know.
It's a big L.
I'm vacating the loss.
Hey, guess what? The New Orleans Saints, they wanted a do-over too. Doesn't work that way. Once the game's done, the game's done.
That's not true. The NFL had the option to come back and say, well, actually.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
You cannot change the result of a game.
There.
You can't change the result of a game after the completion of
the
game.
The rule is there, and Ben Lee enacted that. So, like I said, I'm not going to count it as a win.
He can't just enact that out of thin air.
It's like a court of law.
I don't give a damn.
More evidence was brought to the case.
I mean, I'm not saying that I – like issued an appeal or anything, but I'm just like, okay, good to hear, Ben. I appreciate it. Like I said, I'm not going to count it as a win in my book, and I'm not going to celebrate, but I'm vacating the L for sure. That feels good.
You could vacate whatever you want to. I'll take my trophy and go home with it.
That's fine.
And I'll keep it for this week because it's mine.
That's fine.
I won the game.
Okay.
And if Ben tries to take that away from me, I'm going to hit him over the head with the trophy, and I'm never going to play the game again.
It'd be tough to do this or that on Thursdays.
I know. I know. That's what's at stake here.
We'd be really missing that fourth mic for Cam.
It'll just be John versus Cam from now on if I get screwed over. That would be worse than the Bret Hart screw job.
I was just listening to
the way I see it is it's like in any criminal case, if more evidence is brought to the case, they'll release the guy that's in jail. More evidence is brought to my attention, and I think it's time to
this is kind of your judging incompetence, because I presented you Twang. Like, you knew it was going to be a banger. You heard the minute and a half snippet. Like, you should have seen this coming. This is a little faulty judging on your part.
The snippet did not do justice to the actual song.
Yeah, let me ask, Ben, what was the new evidence that was brought to the table?
The whole song. Twang.
You hearing it?
The whole song.
I heard the snippet on Thursday.
It just dropped like a minute snippet, did a little bit of the chorus.
But it did not do it
now
justice.
Now the whole song's out and the music video.
Well, guess what?
Maybe we should have
played this or that today, and that would have mattered.
I don't think we should have played it today. I just think Ben should have listened to he knew that Twang was going to be a hit. Like, I think this is his own judging incompetence, to be honest.
I think I'm going to take a knee on the game until we get a new judge. That's what I think.
Every time we get a new judge, they say they don't like judging.
No, but they judge fairly.
So are the Warriors going to miss the playoffs next year?
They're going to win the NBA championship, according to the new odds coming out.
Well, with the news of Klay Thompson, they're no longer the favorites, at least. They were, like, that was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen, them being a plus 190 to win the championship last night. That's not happening.
Was that Odd Shark? I saw two different.
Yeah, there were a couple different options. I believe it was Odd Shark that I saw, but like I said, since then, they have moved to 5-1, and Milwaukee's the favorite at 4.5-1. I think the question is more of, do the Warriors make the playoffs versus do they win the championship? Now, you know, Tweeter writes in, shout out to Joe. He tweets in saying that I'm not going to start believing the Warriors aren't a favorite until I see it happen. Klay and KD don't have to go anywhere. Theoretically, they could rehab all year and just get back in time to bring a team Steph limp to a 6 seed back to the finals. That sounds great in theory. I'm just going to go ahead and say I would be absolutely shocked if Kevin Durant plays basketball next year. Like, Kevin Durant has to have learned his lesson of, I can't take my time and sit out and then come back in really high, intense basketball. You can't bring, you know, Kevin Durant back for the playoffs and expect to throw him in the playoff intensity. That seems like a dumb idea. Klay with an ACL? Sure, maybe. Maybe Klay could be back in March. Bad news for that is, that's the last month of the season. Here's the Warrior situation, Cody. Like, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, both are free agents. They want both of these guys back. Brian Windedhorse, as you call him, was on TV today saying that this morning, saying that the Warriors are going to offer both of them 5-year max contracts. Say, look, let's keep this together. You both, Durant, you get $200 million. Klay, you get your $170 or $180 million, whatever. That obviously is going to max them out in terms of they can't add anybody next year on the roster.
If they do that with Klay and Durant?
If they just do it with Klay and not Durant. Well, or just Durant and not Klay. Like, if they just do it with one of those guys and Andre Iguodala doesn't retire. And even if he does retire, they can only add $10 million. Like, the Warriors aren't going to get better next year. It's going to be Steph, Draymond, maybe Kevon Looney, and Klay. Klay's going to be out till March. He tore his ACL. His ACL's gone. Like, he's not going to play.
Yeah, but I mean, Klay coming back in March. I mean, he's still going
to
have some.
Do you bring him back in March if you're like a 9 seed trying to make the playoffs? Like, maybe you do. But again, like.
What happened to him?
He tore his ACL. Like, his ACL is shattered and other ligaments too. You're not going to bring...
Other ligaments, too?
Other ligaments, too! Like, you're not going to bring him back before March. Like, he's out at least 9 months. Like, and I don't know if you're giving somebody $200 million or $170, whatever his max is. Like, I don't understand how you think that you're going to rush him back and risk an injury, you know, by trying to do something dumb in March when you have him for four more years. Like, the Warriors are going to just have this same core next year if all goes to plan.
So basically it'll just be the guys that were playing at the end of the game last night.
Yeah, and that's not a playoff team over 82 games.
And maybe without Iguodala.
Maybe without Iguodala. Maybe you, instead of Sean Livingston, you have a Jeremy Lin out there, or you know, somebody you've convinced to come take the veteran minimum and to like show off their talents. They're not going to have any money to spend, bros. Like, they're not. Especially if KD and Klay come back. They ain't going to even have Cousins limping around.
So you think it's more likely that they miss the playoffs?
Much more likely. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm already looking at that Lakers 20-1 right there.
That, like, I mean, if you look at these odds, if everyone approached this upcoming season by saying that it was boring, you knew we were going to get Warriors versus Celtics, which, by the way, LOL at you if you thought the Celtics were getting to the championship, but that you knew the Warriors are just going to breeze to a finals title. Well, first of all, you were wrong. Second of all, you should love this upcoming season because you look at this favorites list and I don't know who you look at and say, yeah, that team's definitely going to be into the finals. Maybe Toronto, if they just run it back with Kawhi, like maybe you just think they're going to come out of the East.
I mean, Milwaukee should be there again, right?
Sure.
Yeah, another year with Giannis.
Sure. I mean, Milwaukee's going to be good, but they have some interesting decisions to make with their free agents. Like, do they keep Brook Lopez? Do they keep Chris Middleton?
The Knicks with the third best odds out of the East seems kind of weird.
That seems like they're just banking on, like, signing a bunch of free agent superstars, and they're also taking advantage of Knicks fans who are going to bet on odds they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Like, the Knicks fans, the same ones who were betting on them to win the lottery at, like, 3-1 odds, even though they had a 14% chance. Like, they're really taking advantage of Knicks fans and their hopes and dreams there. Like, go ahead and mark off the Knicks, bros. Like, they're not winning the title next year.
You can get the Pistons at 50,000-1.
I think that comes out to, what, 500-1? That seems a little extreme.
Oh, yeah, 500-1. I just saw plus 50,000.
That seems a little extreme.
I mean, if the Lakers win, if they come back with a re-energized LeBron and they've got Anthony Davis maybe, and you don't have to deal with Golden State anymore, I mean, the Nuggets are not beating LeBron. You know damn well James Harden's not beating LeBron.
Again, as I'm looking at it, Cody, I'll give you two teams at the odds I like. Like, we'll see with Toronto at 10-1. I don't think they're worth, you know, taking at 10-1, but the 76ers. The 76ers at 18-1. I like that. And the Lakers at 20-1. I like that. Mark sends in that the actual casinos in Las Vegas have opened up odds. Not as dumb as the internet was, you know, in a rush to be last night. With the Klay Thompson news, with the, I guess, the realization that things aren't going to go well for them this year, they're all the way down at 15-1. So that seems a little bit more likely, even though, again, I said it's much more likely to me they miss the playoffs completely.
So when the actual Vegas books, they're down there around the Knicks territory.
Yeah, here are the current odds right now. I wish they had put this in order, but they have not. But the Bucks are the favorite right now at 6-1. Appreciate Mark for sending this in, by the way, from William Hill, U.S. The Bucks at 6-1, the Clippers at 7-1. That's kind of crazy, but I guess they're thinking, hey, this Kawhi thing might be real. And is that the real answer here when we're looking to who should be the title favorite? The answer is just wherever Kawhi's at. Is that an overreaction to these finals and these playoffs just to say, yeah, wherever Kawhi's at, that should be the favorite? He's already shown you he can do it in 1 year. Throw me anywhere. On God's green earth, I will double my worth. He's already done that. 1 year. If he goes to the Clippers, they might be the best team in the West. If he goes to the Lakers, they might be the best team in the West. If he stays in Toronto, they might be the best team in the East. Hell, if you told me he went to the Knicks and just signed there at 15-1, I'd be like, you know what? I'll take those chances. Is that the answer just right now with we're in limbo when it comes to these superstars. Like, again, Steph Curry, don't think you got it, bro, next year. Odds are stacked against you. You're going to be tired. See, the bad thing about the Warriors, Cody, is that they're still going to be playing as if they won this championship. Right? What I mean is, like, the wear and tear on their legs is still going to be there. The problem is they're just not going to have the ring to show for it. So they're still going to be tired next year, maybe even extra tired because they lost. That Warriors team's out of gas. They're not. Get them out of here.
They're done.
Get them out of here. You're not in the championship conversation next year.
Goodbye.
Get out of here.
Finito?
Yeah. Bye. See you later. See you later. Enjoy competing for a 7 or 8 seed. Just get out of my face.
Well, that really opens things up in the West. And all I know is that the once viewed as best player in the NBA not that long ago is in the West with the LA Lakers.
And that's going to be the question, Cody, is like if we run just down through the list of 7 or 8 superstars, right? 7 or 8, the best players in the league. Go ahead and give me your list that we've kind of talked about before.
The 7 or 8 best players
in
the league?
Yeah, exclude Kawhi for a bit because we already kind of touched Kawhi. We don't know where Kawhi's going to go.
You mean just players that'll be active
next year? Give me the play. Well, I mean, so Kevin Durant, if you had him at number one, he's not playing, so go ahead and throw him out.
So throw Durant out, throw Klay out, even though he's not top 10.
He's not top 10.
Throw him out.
We already threw Steph Curry out, though.
Kawhi, Giannis, Harden.
Giannis makes the sense to take the step, but man, what I saw, the last impression I have of Giannis is he's still got some work to do if he's going to win a championship. The Raptors completely took him out of that series and showed that he's not quite ready yet.
But he's
got
to be a top 10 player.
Oh, no, he's a top 10 player, but I'm saying, like, I don't feel comfortable making the Bucks my pick. I don't feel comfortable in that at all. They got a coach that's proven he can't really handle the playoffs. If you go back to his record in Atlanta and Mike Budenholzer and, you know, in those last 4 games in this series, which that's crazy to see. Like, you look and, like, they were down 2-0 to the Bucks, and game 3 went to triple overtime.
Uh-huh.
And Giannis fouled out on a questionable charge call. Like, they could have easily just gotten swept out of here by the Bucks, and this whole thing just is completely different.
And the Bucks would probably be champions.
The NBA butterfly effect just completely changes on its axis. Like, the league's different. Like, who knows if Durant even has to come back? Who knows if Klay Thompson gets hurt? Feels like the Warriors would have figured out how to stop Giannis, and they just cruise to a championship, and life's good. But instead, they couldn't win that overtime game. The Raptors get hot. Kawhi Leonard is now the king of the North and sitting on the Iron Throne. LeBron James.
Drogon.
Do we feel like LeBron James is going to be at that high level again? I do.
Yeah, damn right I do. I'm very excited next year for the Lakers to come back and LeBron to come back with a vengeance. Because he can finally get that Golden State elephant off his back.
Well, not only that, but he also gets a summer of rest.
Yeah.
Like, you saw how tired the Golden State Warriors were? LeBron did that 3 extra times.
Yeah, LeBron's just sitting there waiting. He's like, you give me an offseason. I'm coming for you, baby.
They did 5 straight finals. LeBron did 8. So you can imagine how tired he is, which really goes to show, like, we maybe sort of appreciated that run a little bit more. But, yeah, being in the Eastern Conference made it a little bit easier.
He's going to come and burn down the Iron Throne.
Like Anthony Davis, we don't know where he's going.
L.A.
James Harden. Are we really going to do that? Are we going to let James Harden fool us again next year?
No. No, we're not. I gave up on him 2 years ago.
So if I'm just looking at the top players in the league, like, I don't feel like any of them really can feel good about themselves except, you know, I'm sure the Bucks feel fine. Whatever, like I said, we'll see how that roster gets filled out. We'll see if Giannis comes back. You know, I do feel like Giannis is made of what it takes. And what I mean by that is I do think we're going to see Giannis take that sweep to heart. And when I say sweep, I mean them getting beat 4 games in a row. They won the first 2, obviously. It was a 6-game series. It wasn't a sweep. But they got swept out of the playoffs 4 in a row. I think Giannis is the type of guy who's going to take that to heart, and he'll come back better than ever. Like, he's going to keep improving. He's wired that way. He's wired like Kobe. He's wired like LeBron. He's wired like Jordan. He'll come back with something new in his game. he'll be ready to go. So maybe the Bucks, you can put them up there near the favorites. And same as kind of in Joel Embiid. You know, you saw, like, if I'm a Sixers fan, I'm sick. Like, man, we took that Raptors team to 7. We had game 4, a chance to win at home to go up 3-1. That could have easily been us.
The thing that is making me think about the Lakers, if Kawhi goes to the Clippers, that's going to change things. That's going to make it interesting because right now I would say it'll be the Lakers versus wherever Kawhi is at, if he's in Toronto. But if he's at the Clippers, I don't know if I trust the Lakers to get out of there. Kawhi's a winner.
Now, some more of the ripple effects will be that now it's wide open. Now, like, the entire league is going to feel like the teams in the Eastern Conference felt last year.
They're breathing a sigh of relief.
Like, you remember when LeBron left and everyone's like, oh, wow, this is up for grabs. And then you saw Toronto like, okay, DeMar DeRozan, see ya, buddy. We're going to go get Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
And obviously that worked out. So now you're going to see teams like the Nuggets, who have Jokic, who is a borderline top 10 player. Like, he's right there on the cusp when I say borderline. Some, you could have him as high as 7 or 8. I wouldn't really agree, but I wouldn't argue. You could have him at 11 or 12, and I'd say, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But he's right there as a top 10 player. Maybe they trade some of their young pieces and say, you know what, let's pair up Anthony Davis with Jokic.
Oh, God, I hope not.
You see Portland, like, hey, get rid of CJ McCollum and Nurkic, and let's just go with Dame and Anthony Davis and take our chances. All these teams who are close might just say, you know what, screw it, let's go for it. This NBA championship is going to be wide open.
I just hope the Lakers do that and make the right moves.
We get it.
Because they've still got the window. They've still got the window. The window's open.
By the way, they have William Hill has the Lakers at 10-1. So, yeah, the whole 20-1 thing was too high.
10-1 for the Lakers?
Yeah.
Who are the best odds?
All right, we run down the Bucks at 6-1. The Clippers at 7-1, which that makes me think they know that Kawhi, or they have a really good feeling Kawhi is going to go there.
Yeah. That sucks for the Raptors.
Although, like, again, I keep saying it. To me, it makes sense for Kawhi to stay and just sign a 2-year deal with a 3rd-year player option. Just give him $65, $70 million, whatever the max is you can give him for 2 years, give it to him and let him stay there. Although, I guess he could sign that same deal with the Clippers and then they'll have his bird rights and be able to give him a super max. So, hell, maybe Kawhi's like, look, guys, I was a hired gun. I was a mercenary.
And he did the best you could ask for.
Here's your title, man. Like, what else do you want from me? I'm out. Like, congratulations, guys. Love you guys. Now, I don't really like Drake. I'm tired of hanging around Drake.
Now's the perfect time for him to leave. I mean, why would he stick around? Because he can't bring him anything better than what he just brought him.
No, it is all downhill from here. You are right about that. But again, when you look at this wide open thing, like, if I'm him and I'm doing the math, I'm like, well, I mean, Siakam's pretty good. Like, he might develop to a good player. Like, Lowry and Van Vliet, that's a decent, you know, group of backcourt guys. Like, now we're championship resolved. Now we got some veterans. We might be the favorites. And then there's also, like, these extra things getting thrown into the wrinkles. I don't know if you saw Woj drop the bomb last night immediately after the final buzzer, but the Washington Wizards are offering the Toronto Raptors GM and president of basketball operations, Masai Ujiri. They're offering him $10 million a year in, like, part ownership stake to try to fix their roster. That's the guy who traded for Kawhi. I'd imagine there's a relationship there. If he leaves, does that affect Kawhi? Or if he stays in Toronto, does he look and say, you know what? This whole winning thing's fun. Let's just go ahead and try it again. Let's trade Siakam and some other salary. Let's go get Anthony Davis. Let's just get Kawhi and Anthony Davis. Let's try that.
Just see what happens.
Because Siakam has to rank in the top 10 right now of young assets, like young players, after what he did last night in the finals. He was awesome. He was the best player on the court for the Raptors for much of that game. So the Clippers are at 7-1. The Raptors and Rockets at 8-1. The Lakers at 10-1.
Well, you can either cancel out the Raptors or the Clippers, basically.
And for some reason, this seems wild. This seems way too short of odds. If you bet on this, I question what you're doing. But the Indiana Pacers are 10-1 as well with the Lakers. That seems strange.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So cancel out the Clippers or the Raptors. Just call it wherever Kawhi goes, right?
Yeah.
So that would give the Lakers the 5th best odds?
Well, I would give them the 4th, 5th best odds, including those other teams. So I mean, if you combine the Clippers and Raptors together, the Lakers have the fourth best odds.
I like that.
Again, the Sixers right there at 12-1. That's a team I'm looking for. It's gonna be fun, man. Hawks at 90-1. Just saying. I mean, I'm just kidding.
Who?
Hawks at 90-1.
Oh.
I mean, I'm just kidding, but you know, it'd be cool. I'd have fun with that.
It would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The next week, the draft is 6 days away. The next week is going to be wild. These next couple weeks as we kind of reset the league completely, there's a lot of unknown right now. There's a lot of unknown right now. I'm looking forward to seeing it shake out. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Kitty Radio, come say it to our face, you Yankee bastard.
Couple different reports circulating around right now. Masai Ujiri, who is, you know, celebrating the biggest accomplishment of his career, is apparently being investigated right now for a misdemeanor battery of a police officer last night on the court. Apparently, he, I think he's been accused of hitting a police officer in the jaw as he was trying to get on the court last night, and they were trying to restrain him to keep him off the court, saying he wasn't showing his credential. Pictures show that he had his credential in his hand, like his pass in his hand.
Who's this guy?
The Raptors GM, the guy who the Wizards are offering $10 million a year and, you know, some ownership stake to come fix their franchise.
And he punched a cop?
Yeah. That, I mean, that's the report.
Seems risky.
If you see the guy, like the scrum that's coming up, like not that I'm saying it's fair. The guy's wearing a blue Warrior shirt, so I don't know if I would consider him an actual police officer. Maybe he's a security guard. Like, can you punch security guards in the face? Is that the same?
I mean, you'd be better off punching a security guard than a cop, probably. General rule is you don't want to punch anybody who has a gun on them.
Apparently, Ujiri refused to show deputy at the court a credential, then twice shoved the deputy, striking him in the jaw. So, I guess if he shoved him, does that mean that he just kind of pushed him in the face? Is that what that means? Because you say he shoved the deputy, comma, striking him in the jaw. To me, that's just I pushed him away and my hand hit his face. Like, to me, if you're punching, you say punch in the jaw, right?
Okay, so he didn't punch him.
I guess he just made contact with his face.
Off me. Get off me.
Do you know who I am?
Yes, okay, that's not as big of a deal.
Do you know who I am?
It's like, get away from me. Like a frustrated kind of shove.
Yeah, like, here's my credential. Damn, get off me.
Yeah, get off me.
I'm trying to celebrate this championship we just won.
Okay, that makes
by beating you four times.
That makes more sense. And he's just a security guard?
It just says deputy. Like I said, he's dressed like someone who might just be team security, but, I mean, I guess he could just be an off-duty officer or maybe an on-duty officer that wears team gear. I don't know.
I don't know. I wouldn't push a guy with a gun. I know that.
Well, I don't know if he's strapped.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I mean, like,
if he's a cop, he's strapped. If he's a security guy, event staff guy, I mean, probably not.
I can't see his waist. I don't know.
Let me see what he's wearing. Let me look at this guy.
I mean, you can't see either. I mean, I have eyes. It's right here. He's just wearing a blue shirt, like I described him.
Just looks like a fan with a camera.
I got a camera.
Or a lanyard.
That's what I'm saying. He looks like a security guy.
That's just an event staff guy.
But they're calling him a deputy.
Yeah, maybe he's a deputy.
I mean, I don't know. But you can see right there his credentials in his right hand. So he's like, he's got his papers to come. Like, hey, I belong on the court. I have something to do with this championship. Let me celebrate us sweeping you in California.
Oh, that guy's probably just a big Warriors fan.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably a little extra salty.
Probably. Hard not to be in that scenario.
I mean, if I'm your jury, I'm like, okay, misdemeanor, cool, whatever. Go ahead and charge me. Let's go ahead and take this big-ass deal to go to Washington and save the Wizards.
I think he's probably doing okay financially.
I don't know what to make of it. All I've seen is the still shot. I don't know who's at the wrong here. I don't know, but that's some reports coming out. And like we talked about with the other reports, both Wojnarowski and Windhorst are now saying that the Warriors are set to try to pay Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant max money to keep them around.
What do you think happens with Durant? I mean, what's the most likely scenario there?
That's a good question, man. I don't know.
Do you think Durant wants to be there still? I mean, because he's posting this stuff on Instagram, and I know part of that's just, you know.
Pain medication. Part of that's the morphine.
He looks so sad in that hospital bed.
It's your boy KD.
That picture's going to get Achilles used. Here. That picture's going to get used all the time now whenever something bad happens with KD. Or he's just sad about something.
Or just when anybody's sad about anything.
Yeah, like this is how I feel about that. It's just KD in the hospital bed.
That'll be one of the big storylines of the offseason, right? Like, what does Kevin Durant do? The idea of five years, $220 million seems pretty cool, especially because, I mean, by the time Kevin Durant gets done with this next four-year contract, he'll be 35, 36 years old. Like, he's going to be near the tail end of his career, so it's not like he has a huge payday waiting for him. Kevin Durant turns 31 in September, so by the time he takes the basketball court again, he will be 32.
So he may just settle down there. I mean, that could be the move. Just finish there. Just end it there.
Maybe. But if he doesn't trust the Warriors training staff and the Warriors doctors, maybe it's not worth the extra $40 or $50 million because if you're Kevin Durant, like, you've made a lot of money. Nike's going to take care of you. It's not about money for you. I mean, I get it's always a little bit about money, but you're going to make a lot somewhere else.
It really depends on whether or not he's happy. And he hasn't seemed happy.
No, he hasn't. And like all the fingers pointed to him leaving, right?
Well, the thing is, though, what if he's just an emotional guy?
I don't think he is an emotional guy.
Well, what I mean by that is, what if it's not that he's just desperately unhappy? It's just that we always know how he's feeling. So he's been unhappy at times, but in general, maybe he's not like completely depressed there. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
He just shows us his emotions.
All of the early reports, all the reports all year is that he's gone. Now, granted, like, the narrative shifted drastically, right? The narrative has shifted drastically from the middle of the season when Draymond Green was telling Kevin Durant, "We don't need you, bro."
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's changed. It's pretty obvious they need him.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that Draymond was wrong about that.
So maybe that will help ease the blow. Maybe that changes the narrative a little bit in terms of, well, maybe you shouldn't leave because it's cool to have you here, Kevin. You are a big part of this.
We miss you, Kevin.
Although, like I said, I mean, he's going to have options. It's just whether or not he wants the pressure, because if he signs with the Clippers or he signs with the Nets or the Knicks and sits out a year, Clippers not so much, but man, if he's in New York and he comes back and he's not Kevin Durant, it's going to get like the whole face turn we talked about of him being the good guy now. The New York media isn't going to be kind to him in terms of
Francesco will eat him alive.
Francesco, when he's not asleep, will be like, Kevin Durant's a bum. I tell you, he's a bum.
Kevin Durant, he's no good anymore, okay? He's not any good anymore. That's what you got to remember about Kevin Durant. He's no good, okay? I've been watching all those back after this videos about Francesa. I've gotten so addicted to those. It's my new favorite thing on the internet.
I like the one where he's having to do all these live reads. He's like, who's listening to this? Who wants to sit here and listen to me read this? It's like the third time I've read this. It's the same exact thing.
I don't care about this, okay? Hey, folks.
These advertisers suck.
He said Kevin Durant played the other night because he was selfish. That's why he played in the game that he tore his Achilles.
That's a pretty good take.
He's selfish, all right?
That's a pretty good take.
Yeah, that's why he got hurt.
So we'll see what happens. If I'm Kevin Durant, I mean, my thing is, if I'm leaving before I get injured, I'm still leaving after I get injured. I'm not going to stay just because of the extra money. Or because now we have an emotional connection because we went through trauma together.
Yeah, because it's not like it's either all that money or no money.
Right.
He's still going to get a lot of money wherever he goes. So I'd say when you're at the status level of him, I mean, your happiness is worth a few million, you know? Especially when you got all the endorsements and all that kind of stuff.
Well, again, if he was healthy, I don't think it's a conversation, Cody. But the problem is now.
You think the difference of money could be drastic?
Well, no, not that. But the happiness thing. And the, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a professional athlete, obviously. I don't know what we could equate an Achilles injury to in our business, right? But despite being super confident his entire life, I'd imagine Kevin Durant is the most vulnerable he's ever been and the most unsure of his self he's ever been. Like, he's got a long road to recovery, and until he gets out there and starts playing on that Achilles, he's not going to know if he's going to be the same Kevin Durant. I would say he's scared. And I don't mean that.
He's an emotionally fragile guy anyway.
Well, I don't even mean that as fragile. Like, I think it's 100% okay to be scared. Like, anybody who says they're not afraid of things, I think is lying or they're a sociopath. So, like, I think he's going to be really scared. And maybe at that time, Cody, it's easier to stay with what you know and what you're comfortable with, right? Rather than start out on a new team in a new city with a fan base that's going to expect you to be the old Kevin Durant. Maybe it's easier just to lock in long-term and get that money there and figure it out rather than start over new while still trying to figure out if you can play basketball at a high level.
That's easier, but maybe Kevin Durant's still got something to prove.
Maybe.
He always seems to have something he's trying to prove.
Seems like it.
We'll see.
And that's why it's going to be so fascinating, the psychology behind these decisions this offseason. Like, for me, it makes all the sense in the world for Kyrie Irving to, especially if they trade for Anthony Davis. Like, for me, it makes sense. Kyrie, go play in L.A. Like, go play with LeBron. Go play with Anthony Davis. Go do that. Or does Kyrie get tempted by the psychology of being his own man and being his own star in Brooklyn? And then they go and they're the 4 or 5 seed. You know what I mean? Like, Kawhi, the psychology behind his decision, loyalty, comfort, or I want to go back to the West Coast. Gonna be some fun stuff over the next couple weeks. Hour 1 in the books, hour 2 on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports right here on Fan Run Radio.